Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello. Welcome to Jules Says. I'm Jules.
Julie.
All opinions on Jules Says are mine, unless I have a guest, and today I don't have a guest. But I would like to hear from you if you have anything you'd care to share. I'm in a lot of pain this week because I went to New York for a week, and then Joanne and Richard were here the week after we were in New York. Even though I went to a couple of dance classes in New York, it wasn't nearly as much as I've been doing, because I've been doing body pump regularly at the gym. I've been doing yoga. I've been doing flexibility classes, jazz classes, heels classes. So you give that up for 2 weeks, pretty much, and then you go back to it. I went to body pump on Monday. Oh, I don't know. If you have a Fitbit, you might understand what I mean when I say zone minutes. I did a body pump class on Monday, and then I did a jazz class Monday night, and I did a lot of walking around. I got something like 17,000 steps. I had 302 zone minutes on that Fitbit, which apparently is a lot. I'm starting to think something is wrong with me, because Abe and I can do pretty much a similar exercise, and I'll have three times the zone minutes. Maybe it just means my heart is weaker. I have no idea. But I'm in pain today after that. It's amazing what 2 weeks away can do. But I have to get back at it, back in the swing of things. Anyway, I generally try to keep this podcast light and, for the most part, apolitical. I'm opinionated, but I don't want to get into polarizing arguments with people. So mostly I just talk about personal life stories. Or when I have a guest, they share their personal life stories. And there's enough bad news in the world that it might seem as though I'm taking an ostrich approach by burying my head in the sand and not talking about stuff that matters. The thing is, I don't think I can even remotely contribute to solving any of the world's problems. But on the other hand, how are we, I mean, by we, I mean humankind, how are we supposed to solve anything if we don't even talk about it? And talking should be an exchange of listening and sharing and learning. And so often these days, it seems as though it isn't. So there is a part of me that feels a little uncomfortable completely ignoring the big problems, even though I can't fix anything. But just because people don't talk about issues publicly doesn't mean they're not thinking about them or having these types of discussions privately. I know I am, and I kind of resent people who interpret silence on social media as silence or not caring. People need to stop screaming at others for not posting more. If you cared, you'd post more. I noticed my friends have been silent on this. Stop it. We're all just trying to live our lives and get by and do the best we can. And posting is not a dialogue. It's just tossing stuff out there for the algorithms to decide who'll get to see it. What a hypocrite I am, right? A podcast isn't a dialogue either. But at least I start with a disclaimer that I don't profess to be right. And I invite people to respond. I do. I'm interested, as long as people aren't being vitriolic trolls about things. And I suspect a lot of people, maybe you are one of them, a lot of people maybe feel the same way as I do about this. I mean, we can't ignore all the suffering and slaughtering that's going on in the world. But at the same time, we're also powerless to do anything about it. And too often, if we say anything, we worry because we risk saying something wrong that offends someone, or saying something in a way we didn't intend, or we didn't mean to offend, or of being misinterpreted, or just sharing or reacting to something that isn't even real. That's one of my fears. We know the algorithms are showing us what they want us to see, what makes them money, really. That's the bottom line. And it's frustrating because social media companies have the technology to mute people from their followers without their knowledge, apparently. This hasn't happened to me. It's not like I'm big enough to matter. They can sophisticatedly block political discourse, to quote Andrew Johnston. But they can't direct more of their technical genius to not hosting scam companies or feeding people fake stories? Apparently not. And we can't necessarily trust mainstream media. You can't even trust videos because AI and deepfake technology have become so sophisticated. And I don't know about you, but I don't want the algorithms to just feed me what they think I want to see. I just want the truth, but I don't know where I can reliably, consistently get the truth. Some of the stories and videos we see are so excruciatingly evil that I want to believe they can't possibly be true. I'm an ostrich. This is really why I'm reluctant to share posts on social media about these issues, because I'm not confident that I can tell the difference between truth, half-truth, and conspiracy theories. And of course, we all agree that slaughtering, kidnapping, enslaving, raping, starving people has to stop, don't we? How can we sit back and enjoy our own little lives while millions are corralled into a small area without basic dignity, food, water, reasonably decent shelter, health care? How can we be aware of this and know that thousands are being shot, bombed, executed, and live our lives? I think a lot of us look away because we can't stomach it. I know I can't. It's too much. And there's no justification for the violence that we're seeing and hearing about. And never mind the violence we're not seeing or hearing about. And this is nothing new. It's not an isolated issue. But of course, the news cycle tends to forget the last outrage and replace it with the newest outrage. I don't blame people for turning away. We constantly live with this low-level anxiety because things are going on that we can't do anything about. Was the October 7th attack partly intended to distract the world from the war in Ukraine? Somebody said that to me, and it wouldn't surprise me, even though the issues in the Middle East are not new. And massacring civilians, obviously, is not only wrong, it isn't going to work. Violence doesn't solve the problems. But you know what it will do? It will definitely harden the hearts and minds of those who live through it and do survive. Those people must believe that we are all evil, even if we're not the ones doing it. But they must wonder, why isn't the world helping us? Why isn't anyone doing anything to stop it? And our governments are funding it. I don't know. Maybe we just have to accept that men have always waged war. This isn't new. And we keep hoping we'll learn from it. We'll move past violent revenge. But it never ends. And when people have been wronged, I can understand why they want retribution. But that'll never end anything. Maybe we can help by donating to various organizations, but it's even hard to know what organizations can be trusted to actually get the help to the people who need it. And how can we expect mediation to work when both sides have been so wronged? Or at least they feel so wronged. A lot of people can't even get over wanting revenge or deal with a mediation for a divorce, never mind being surrounded by extreme death and destruction. Is compromise possible under those circumstances? I don't know. I guess historically, there are countries who've been able to move past and move on, but it takes years and years and generations, and then sometimes issues bubble up again, just when you think things are going okay. And there are a lot of people who dogmatically believe they are right, and they're entitled to destroy or wield power over others, to dominate them. We see this happening on a small scale all the time. I don't know. Maybe we do need to just boil the planet and start from scratch. I certainly don't have any answers, but I certainly expect world leaders to do better than they're doing. And sadly, that will never happen in my lifetime. It just seems as though there are no political leaders, even in democratic countries, who we can count on to stop the insanity. So you could argue that our vote should matter, but who are you going to vote for? It's a global problem. Speaking of dumpster fires and social media companies, I heard from a listener in reference to pedophiles, or pedophiles as we say here, trolling pictures of children online. And I just thought I would share the warning she emailed me for people who post pics of their children. I read something a while ago that when people put photos of their children online with hashtags like hashtag baby boy, hashtag baby girl, making memories, baby's first bath, etc., it's making it even easier for unsavory people to search for children potentially unclothed. Also, if people put emoji stickers over their children's modesty in bath photos, there's an app or filter that can remove them. Well, yes, of course we have the technology for that. We don't have technology for safety, but we have that. Ugh. I'm sorry. The social media companies need to take more responsibility for safety, and they're not going to unless they're forced to. And of course, we can't trust the legislators, and we can't trust governments. We can't trust safety to be balanced with free speech. I think it would be interesting. I mean, I'll be long gone. I often wonder how it feels to be over 100 years old and look back on the changes in the past 100 years. And I think it would be interesting to see in 100 years from now how far we've come, how much has changed, because technology changes at an exponential rate. When you think about how much the world has changed in the past 100 years, it's amazing to also think that human nature has remained largely the same. We all want the same things in life. We want comfort, love, food, shelter. That's mostly what we want. And of course, we still have a lot of violent, lying, cheating, cruel assholes in the world. I wonder what people will think of us when they look back 100 years from now. Maybe they'll marvel at how barbaric we were, or how stupid we were.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, on a lighter note, this same listener had some great suggestions for getting deals on show tickets in London, which I will share in the episode comments in case you're interested. I know lots of people who say they hate theater or they hate musical theater, and fine, I get if you don't like it, you don't like it. But I just have such a hard time understanding how anyone could totally dislike it. And I'm curious, why? Why don't you like musical theater? Well, it's so fake. People wouldn't start dancing in the street. No, they wouldn't. But you watch movies full of all kinds of fake stuff. Musical theater is like fun science fiction. What would it be like if instead of having a fight, you had a dance fight? That the world would be a better place. It's kind of a suspension of belief into a fantasy land. Of course, I love theater, not just musical theater. I really love a well-done, scripted play. I think part of it is my appreciation for doing that live again and again and again. And part of it is because I really love the whole process. I love rehearsing and working it and having the audience there. It's just so great. And one of the things I love about any good show is how it leaves you feeling, and this holds true for films as well, they leave you feeling or thinking about something long after it's over, which is one of the reasons art is so important. A creative, funny, or a symbolic way of looking at the mundane. The Lion King, for example. I've seen it a number of times. I've seen the cartoon, same story. But every time I see it, it feels fresh. And after seeing it in New York, it resurrected a lot of thinking about it. And it occurred to me when I saw it again, when Simba is off Hakuna Matata-ing with Pumbaa and Timon, it kind of reminded me of human teenage boys and a few young men. I think there are, of course there are parallels. We've personified animals, so there are going to be human parallels. Simba was avoiding his problems, primarily guilt and shame over his father's death because he was ashamed because he thought he was responsible, which is a huge problem, and it's human nature to avoid pain and shame. And I know there are a lot of brilliant, talented, motivated, accomplished young people out there. So I don't want to dump on the youngsters in general. But I know more than one young person, and I know of others, potential employers who've tried hiring them, employing them, interviewing them. And by young, I mean mid-20s and younger, maybe even up to 30-ish, who cannot fathom being accountable for showing up for work consistently, or even on time, or doing work they don't like, performing tasks they don't like, or paying for their own food or paying for their rent. But they have money for weed. Oh yes, that's a priority. And I know there are old people who are like that too. But anecdotally, it does seem to me that it's a little too common among some young people. And why is that? Is it because rent is so expensive that there's no point even trying to make enough money to pay for it? Is it because schools have had to give up on holding students to any standard? And I've talked to teachers, and it's unbelievable what they have to deal with these days. Or is it because parents did too much for these kids when they were young? I don't know. Maybe it's a whole combination of things. And I get that there are plenty of companies that expect employees to give too much for too little. But how much is too much? Is 60 hours too much? 40 hours? That magical number came from somewhere. During the Industrial Revolution, people had to work all day, every day, into the night, including children. And then the unions eventually were able to put a stop to that. So now we kind of consider 40 hours a week a normal work week. But does that make sense? I don't know what the right answer is, but surely it's not too much to expect people to show up to work on time or to have to do some tasks you don't like doing. I've been working full time since 1978, and I still have to do work I don't like. Part of going to school is learning to complete tasks you don't enjoy, that self-discipline. That's part of why you go to school, not just for the curriculum.
to learn to get along with people, to learn to work in groups, to learn to show up on time, to learn accountability for your deliverables. In the case of school, that would be assignments. I don't think that's too much to ask. But it occurred to me that part of the problem could be that young people who grew up in this information age onslaught feel the anxiety and emotional pressure of the world's problems a thousandfold worse than old people like me. Because unlike my generation, there is no sheltering today's young people from world news. There's no certainty of what's true or not true. And even though it's possible or probable that mainstream media was always feeding us untrue or twisted propaganda when I was growing up, we didn't know we were being fed propaganda. We had the luxury of a delusional level of comfort in our ignorance. And now we know enough not to trust. And the state of the world and the uncertainty of young people's future has to weigh particularly heavily on them. So I can understand why they might retreat into YouTube videos, getting high, doing nothing constructive. Old people like me know that we have to try and fail before we can succeed. Plus, we'll be dead soon, so what's the difference? But when the barrage of information hurled at you is so bleak and relentless, does that suck hope for the future right out of you, right out of your psyche? Were so many people unmotivated to work, or were so many people purposeless when I was young? Maybe they were and I didn't notice. I think in general, though, we all knew that we had to show up. And of course, in The Lion King, Simba eventually realizes he does have a purpose in life, which motivates him to go back to his family, his home, and fulfill that purpose. And we all need purpose. That doesn't necessarily have to be a job or earning money, although you need at least enough money to live, which is no easy feat these days. But having purpose, even when you're a child, builds self-esteem. It gives us energy. It gives us a reason to get out of bed, something to look forward to. And accomplishing something after you've tried and failed builds resilience. Even trying and failing feels better than doing nothing, I think. But I know of too many young people who struggle to take responsibility for a job, to work any more than maybe 16 hours a week, or to focus on anything they don't like doing. And it's just mystifying to me. Are they afraid of failure? Do they feel as though their own personal accomplishments mean nothing in a world that's full of so many horrible, unsolvable problems? Or is it a sense of entitlement? Or do they just not think about it? I can't tell. And I don't know any of these young people well enough to try and have a conversation about it, and they might resent the conversation anyway. But I'm genuinely curious because I don't understand how a healthy 25-year-old doesn't think they should have to work or pay their way. I just don't get it. So what can we do to ensure children grow up with resilience and a sense of purpose? It can't just be up to the parents. Because all of us are part of a bigger community. Your parents aren't the only people who influence you. It takes a village, and not all children go home to a stable, loving, supportive home and family. And even the children who do have that have to deal with the other children who don't, and the relentless barrage of terrifying information. And the institutions we put children into, i.e. schools, were originally invented to teach children to be workers. But we need schools to be so much more nowadays. And so many children in the world don't even have the option of going to school because they're poor. Not usually in this country, but in a lot of countries, poor children cannot go to school. It's not an option. Maybe they have to work in sweatshops. Or some children are living in a war zone without enough food, hoping they don't get bombed or shot. There are just too many people growing up, learning hopelessness and fear, which might result in them giving up or result in them becoming violent, which results in the vicious cycle of violence. Because without hope, dignity, opportunity, we have nothing. I certainly can't solve any of the world's problems, but I suppose all we can do is listen, talk to people, and maybe help someone if they'll let you help them, and try to figure out what organizations are actually making a difference and maybe donate there if you have the money. But also, we all need a bit of Hakuna Matata for our own sanity. If you have anything you'd like to share, email me at julesays@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. I'll try not to be such a downer next week.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.